it wasn't as much about the environment that he was in. It was about who he was in that environment that was keeping him down.
Welcome to the Happy Engineer Podcast, the place where we help engineers to build your career, balance your life, and be happy. My name is Zach White, a former engineer now turned CEO, lifestyle engineering coach, and your host. I believe that success without fulfillment is failure. Join me each week as we bring you an inspiring leader or message to help you enjoy both. Thanks for investing time with me today. Now let's do this. Yes, finally, a conversation where we talk coaching. Hey, as you know, it's a passion of mine, and coaching changed my life when I was at rock bottom and burned out. I want you to think about your goals and dreams for your engineering career. Picture it for a moment. Who do you want to become? Well, here's my promise to you. Coaching will help you get there. And I'm so excited for this episode because I'm chatting with a fellow engineering career coach and my good friend, Jeff Perry, and he is going to show you how. We share real stories of real engineering leaders like you to help you understand the power and practice of career coaching. Jeff is a successful mechanical and software engineer turned leadership and career coach for engineers. Or as he says, Jeff has moved from developing products to developing people. If you're like the thousands of engineering leaders my team and I have talked to, you might have wondered what coaching is all about and if it's right for you. Or you're probably asking how to become a better coach for yourself to be able to serve your team. This is the conversation that you've been waiting for. And if you want to keep the conversation going with me and your fellow listeners, then make sure you join the Happy Engineer community online and get access to bonus content from this episode and live coaching with me every week. It's a free group, so pause this for a second, click the link in the show notes to request access, and then come on back. Oh, and just so you know, I got way on top of my soapbox in a rant during the episode debrief after this interview, so hold on to your notepads, because it's go time. All right, happy engineers, welcome back. I am here with a good buddy and fellow coach, Jeff Perry. Jeff, thanks for making time to be on the Happy Engineer podcast with me today, man. I'm super pumped for this.
Zach, it's a pleasure. I always love talking to you and the energy you bring, and excited to have this conversation. We're going to have some, talk about some fun things and some of the things we do.
No doubt. Jeff, when I think about you, you're one of those first faces that I used to spend a lot of time following on my LinkedIn feed when I first made my transition from full-time engineering and my career into starting my business. You were like one of the other people who was doing the same kind of work that I wanted to do. And so I just feel that kindred spirit with you. And I love the content that you make. And if anybody, you know, listening doesn't follow Jeff on LinkedIn, you'll go do that immediately. He's got some amazing content. But is that how we first met? Was it just a LinkedIn connection?
It was. And I felt the same with you as I jumped into this. I think we got into a pretty similar time, like in 2019. And so like, as we were both kind of diving in and trying to figure this out and have some fun with it. And we connected, we had a conversation early on trying to kind of learn from each other. And we've stayed connected over the years since we've done that. And so, yeah, I think it just started connecting over LinkedIn, seeing each other and enjoyed staying in touch.
Yeah, summer 2019 is when I walked out the doors of Whirlpool for the last time. And that's so funny. So maybe a good transition opportunity, Jeff, why don't you tell the engineering leader listening a little bit about your story, because you also have that engineering background and passion, you know, ME for both of us. I think you got deeper into software than I ever got. And now we're kind of in the same world as coaches. But tell us a little bit about your background and how you got to where you're at today.
Yeah. So wide-ranging engineering stuff I did. I did an ME degree. Then actually, because of some connections with some undergrad research I was doing, I actually got into software right out of my undergrad instead of going into like mechanical design or something like that.
So, you traitor. I know, right?
So right immediately. But I was still in an engineering company working for General Motors for a while. So you can appreciate that, being a guy from Michigan, right? Although I lived in Texas, but visited Michigan a few times. But we're actually doing software around automating mechanical and electrical processes and systems. So think about like a company like GM or other automotive companies. They have engineers who are doing the same processes over and over again. There are all sorts of design checks and things they need to do to maximize results and get the right data as they're going through different streams design process and stuff like that. So we would automate creating geometry in like the CAD systems. We would automate doing all sorts of cool math behind the scenes, extracting data on GD&T and all sorts of, you know, so some of these things that mechanical engineers would understand in the design process and bring some of that out. Nice. Routing electrical systems and things in the cars. We would automate a lot of that stuff. So I was deep into writing code.
Do you think any of that code is still in use at GM, Jeff? Or do you think it's probably obsolete by now?
It's been a few years, but I'm sure the bones of some of that is for sure. Because there were some big programs that I got to work on that were like going to be multi-year things, you know, beyond just my time there. But it didn't take me too long to realize that writing code all day just wasn't necessarily my gig. Okay. And I don't have anything against software folks or software friends. Obviously, the industry in software continues to explode, and there's a lot of things that they do, and we need software folks to do some of the great work out there these days. But it just wasn't for me, like being at my desk, writing code all day, getting requirements from above, and then executing on that wasn't my deal. It wasn't as strategic and collaborative as what really engaged me personally. Right. And so I was looking for opportunities. I was actually looking at MBA programs or dual MBA programs, get a master's in engineering as well. But then I had a connection that said, hey, and I also had like a little side business on the side just to try and engage me in a different way to explore the entrepreneurship waters. And so I had a connection that said, hey, we actually need someone like you who's done mechanical software, can put some things together and also has kind of an entrepreneurial spirit. And so I got a new job and kind of my first leadership opportunity in a smaller company, connecting with like IoT systems. So there was software, there was hardware, and trying to build a new kind of market for some of the technologies that they had. And so I was working on product, there's some marketing aspects to it. And so I got to put on a lot of different hats, and that throw me into the fire, all sorts of things that I didn't know I needed to learn about connecting with stakeholders and users and creating product roadmaps and all those sorts of things and building teams. Yeah. But some things that were really important to me in my personal and leadership development along the way. And I screwed up a lot, as many of us do. I didn't know what I was doing. I didn't know what I didn't know.
Jeff, is there any particular screw up that really stands out in your mind? Like this was one of my major oopses.
So a few years into that, I actually started a part-time MBA program, the University of Washington.
Okay.
And the first semester of that was in a leadership class. And so they had us administer one of those 360 surveys.
Okay, sure.
Right?
Yeah.
And so I sent that survey to the people that reported directly to me, some of my peers that I worked with, and some of the people that were my leaders and things. I think it was 12 or 13 people in all, something like that. And there was a very clear theme that came out in that that said, essentially, Jeff doesn't listen.
Well, that feels good.
Jeff has ideas and he doesn't listen to our ideas. You know, he's got an idea and he wants to push that forward. And that was a big eye-opener for me, especially interestingly enough, because a year before that, I had started doing corporate training around mindset development and things internal to the company that was around, hey, how do we consider other people in the work that we do? How do we approach and see people as people? And we can get into some of that stuff as well. And so I was already thinking about these things.
Planting those seeds of the ultimate coach you would become even before you got that feedback is what you said.
Yeah, totally. And so I get this feedback and I was like, oh, okay, there's some work I need to do. And so grateful for planting those mindset seeds because it opened me up to really be able to move through that process to get some more direct feedback from my team and the people that I worked with so that I could really go through those changes and ask them to help hold me accountable to making the changes so that I could be the leader that they needed me to be.
That's amazing. Right? We could probably spend the whole episode just talking about the lessons learned in that one moment. But if you were just going to say like the biggest shift that changed when it came to listening and that feedback that happened at that time, what was that for you?
I think it was just the ability to take space and truly consider the perspectives of other people in various situations. I think before I often came in with my idea and agenda and I had it mapped out in my mind. And so that cursive knowledge, and I was coming in and I was hoping that other people would just catch my vision, right? Instead of seeking to understand and build something around it and build the buy-in through that process whenever we were going through a different project or initiative or thing like that, and just bring people along that process. And so it was still a process. And I asked them to help hold me accountable. So on our team boards and other areas and on my computer, I had reminders that just said, that literally just said, listen, a reminder for me and also a reminder for them that they could help me. And they did quite a few times. We were in meetings or other things that said, Jeff, you're not listening right now. I was like, okay, you're right. I'm going to stop.
Awesome.
And I'm just going to listen. And the fact that they felt safe and we could have those conversations and they could let me know, that was a big deal for me. And that was a big deal for them. I know that was hard for them at times, but it was important for me and a continual reminder for me that I was committed to that change process.
I think huge, you know, important lesson for everybody, you know, and the engineering leader listening to this, it's not just about Jeff's change and going from being bad at listening to great at listening. But the fact that you had the rapport and the trust with your team above, below, around you, that they could give you the feedback to help you improve, says so much about yourself, your values, and just the relationships that you built. Because so often, and you and I both experienced this, you know, we work with engineering leaders who want to make these changes, and they ask for the feedback, and there's no sense of safety and trust to give it. That's really, really important. If you're out there asking for feedback and you're getting none, it's actually a more concerning thing than if you're getting it.
So the 360 survey helped them feel a little bit safer up front because it was anonymous, but that theme came up and then I brought it up and said, okay, this needs to be addressed. Let's really talk about this more in the open because this is important for all of us, you know, for me, but also for them so that they could achieve what they needed to achieve, right? And as a team. And so it was an important shift for me and still stuff I work on.
Yeah, exactly. I was going to say that. I mean, it really speaks to why you're such a great coach now. It's like that seed of who you were was already there and just strengthening along the way. So fast track us through the rest. I mean, we could tell engineering stories all day, but I want to hear like, how did Jeff then realize, you know what, I want to go help other engineering leaders as a coach full time. Where did that begin?
Yeah. So some of those things, some of that corporate training on mindsets and things that I got involved in sort of raised my hand because there were some consultants and ideas that we had brought in from another company and we're going to take that to the rest of the company and sort of raise my hands. Hey, can I do this? Can I be involved in this? So that was sort of a side gig. And then I got on my MBA and I learned more about things. And I was already recognizing that there was going to be some shifts for me in the future. But as I thought about it, I kind of got to one of these career plateaus where I recognized that I wasn't necessarily doing my very best work in the main role that I was in, which meant that it wasn't great for me and it wasn't great for the company. And so I had a really difficult conversation and I wouldn't necessarily recommend doing it this way for everyone, but it was important for me. I had a conversation and said, hey, this isn't necessarily the right thing for me. And I love the company itself. And so I said, I'd love to explore other ways that we might organize my work to really utilize my strengths and do different things that would be great for me and the company. If we can find something great, if not, it's probably time for me to go. And that's okay. I was okay with that if that was the answer. And that was 2019. And we explored some things. And even there was a proposal that went up to the executive team for various reasons that didn't get accepted. And so then my leader said, okay, it's time to go. And they were really cool about that transition process and stuff. And partially about because of the way that I had done that. Like I was really trying to consider them in that process. So moved through that, but I didn't know what was next really.
Okay.
And so then went through that process. I did a lot of journaling and reflection. And I was a spiritual guy. So there's a lot of prayer involved, trying to figure out what was that next step. And there was one day I remember in my journal and connecting, you know, a bunch of different engineering principles that I loved and also connecting this. I had gone into this in this training stuff. And I recognized that, by the way, just doing that sort of work kind of helped me. Like I came alive and I really enjoyed doing that work. And I look forward to those days more than any of the other technical stuff I was doing. And so I sort of said, hey, I want to do more of that. And so I sort of put these together and like, okay, maybe the engineering and the training and the coaching stuff together is it. And so I started formulating what might that look like and how might I deliver that sort of stuff. And there was just a day that I couldn't stop writing. Like the ideas were just flowing. And so I sort of took that as a sign and said, hey, let's run with this and give this a try. And so ever since then, I've been trying to build what is now more than engineering.
Yes.
You know, helping do leadership and career coaching for ambitious engineers, and love doing that. So that's the short story.
Anyway. That's really cool. And, you know, Jeff, you're being modest about the work here, more than engineering, and the work that you do as the CEO and founder of that organization, and the impact you're having in the lives of engineering leaders who really do need the support in the transformation in their careers and in their lives is awesome. And so that said, let's shift the focus away from Jeff's story for a moment, because one of the things I'm excited to hear from you, and I know the engineering leaders who listen to the Happy Engineer podcast are going to get tremendous value from, is to hear the stories and the things that change and shift in the lives of your clients. Everybody feels like I'm alone sometimes with our challenges. Even though cognitively we know we're not the only one who's suffered in life, it's when you're in the trenches, a lot of times it feels like I'm the only one suffering here. And for sure. I think you just bring such a powerful perspective on who else has been there and mm-hmm. how you've helped them move through those things. So open slate, man. Tell us about what is the work like, and what are you seeing in industry and with working with engineers and the kinds of places they get stuck and how you help them through it? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Zach. So just real quick before we dive too far into that, because I know probably a lot of our listeners are doing other things, working out or driving or something. So we're going to be talking about a lot of stories and a lot of principles. So I put something together just for Happy Engineer or Waco followers that they can awesome. Go check out some things. So if people want to go get some of the resources and some of the ideas we're going to be talking about today, you can go to www.engineeringcareeraccelerator.com/Waco. And awesome. Go grab that. And so I just want to point people to that, to some of the ideas that we're going to be talking about here today. Great. So
don't stop driving to type that into your phone right now.
Yeah, just we'll remember, we'll remind the
link,
it later.
The link will be, we'll hot link it right there in the show notes and make sure it's sure. everywhere you can find it. But Jeff, that's awesome. Thanks for putting that together, man.
Yeah, exactly. So really, it comes down to me about, you know, transformation. Right. Like, I don't want anyone who comes to work with me and with More Than Engineering to feel like this is just a transaction, that they're investing some money and hopefully they get something out of it and great. But I really want to design the experience so that people feel like there's a transformation. Like, I want them to be different, operate differently, and feel differently about themselves, about their lives, about their careers on the other side of this. But what that transformation looks like is a little bit different, you know, for every person, because every person's different, what they're trying to do, where they're at in their lives and their careers, what they're trying to accomplish. So just to give a few tastes here. So some people are really early in their careers trying to figure out what they're going to go. Like one guy who graduated with his master's degree in mechanical engineering, but then got hit with the pandemic and couldn't find a job opportunity and stuff like that, literally working minimum wage at a gas station with a master's in mechanical engineering and couldn't find a job. Talk about like mismatching of like resources and potential there, right? And so he was dealing with anxiety and crippling student loans and all sorts of things. But we shifted things from his mindset and how he approached what he's doing things, and ended up with multiple job offers and career opportunities excited about, got promoted in less than 8 months. And we were working together. He had sort of created like a vision board for himself, and he sort of had a dream car on there. And so I asked him later, like, hey, did you ever end up buying that dream car? He's like, yeah, I did. So even like things amazing. Like that, right? So that's one.
Let me stop on that for a second, because it's super, I guess synchronicity is the word that comes to mind. Mm-hmm. Literally today, before we got together for this conversation, one of my clients, who's currently unemployed because of unfortunate circumstances,
sure.
was asking about like, what do I do? What do I do? And the conversation goes all over the place. And then the thought was mentioned, like, you know, do I have to just go get a job to pay bills until I can figure this out? And there was that moment of kind of awkward pause, like, all of the ego and esteem and challenges about like, what does that mean for me to do that if I go just work at a gas station like your client? And it was just fascinating, because it's like, maybe I need to do that in the short term to just bridge a gap until I find my next opportunity. But there was so much guilt and shame kind of built up around the idea of ever doing it. So I just feel compelled to acknowledge, you know, your client and you know, of course, keep it anonymous, but it's like really powerful that they were willing to have the courage to say, I'm going to do whatever it takes to kind of get through this awkward place while mm-hmm. I'm in the pandemic, can't find work. But to your point, Jeff, and what I wanted to ask you about in that is, it does take a toll on your identity when you get into that place that's nothing like who you thought you would be mm-hmm. when you graduate, or, you know, for my client, it's someone who's got 20 years of experience and now is facing right. that same challenge. So can you just describe, and I love, like, it's not a transaction, it's a transformation. What is the early steps, or as a coach, how do you help somebody to shift that identity that, hey, just because you're at a gas station now doesn't mm-hmm. mean that's all of who you are, or that this, you're doomed, your destiny is ruined. Like, what is that like to shift and transform your mindset?
I think it's this process of really identifying who you're trying to become and where you're trying to get to. So mm-hmm. you're totally right. Like, he was in this space where he had taken an identity hit, because he was a solid engineer, you know, had gone through some good educational experiences and done a lot of, like, side projects, and was one of those people who was really involved and connected and engaged and learning and growing and things like that. But here he was doing this sort of work and taking a hit. He's like, is this all there is? Is this all I'm good for a while? That's the mindset he was in there for a while. But he started to let go of this identity he'd started to take on and start to reignite almost the identity that he had as an ambitious engineer, of where, what he wanted to do and the types of work that he wanted to be involved in and the impact that he wanted to have. And he started to work on another side project, started building portfolios, started sharing and having more conversations. And he got some other mentors and started networking and having informational interviews and things. And sort of, instead of just like, hey, I'm just like hanging out in the gas station every day, and that's where he was at for a while. Hey, I'm someone who I can talk to and grow and connect with people in different ways. And he was designing things, he was building stuff, and he rekindled that identity of who he was trying to become, operating from that's the person who he was. And then the results came.
I love that.
It starts, you know, taking that, and I know you're big on having courage and taking big actions and things like
Absolutely.
That. It's something that's big on you. And I say the same thing, you know, operating from, like, who am I trying to become? How do I need to operate today to be that person, really?
Yeah. That's super cool.
Seeing that process over time.
And honestly, Jeff, just to hammer the point home, like, this is why partnering with a guide, a coach, someone who can come alongside and help you, because it's really tough alone in that place where you are in that false identity, that, you know, broken identity, that's not who you want to be, mm-hmm. to just self-medicate your way back to who you can become. And, you know, mm-hmm. I see it over and over again, especially engineers, we have a lot of ego. I'll speak for myself. I have a lot of ego. I did as an engineer. Okay. I still, my coach continues to humble me around that. Yeah. It can be tough to do that. So I think, again, kudos to you and the work you're doing with that client. Where else? Give us more examples, man. I love this.
Yes, this is fun and hopefully some of the listeners see themselves in some of these stories, right? I had another client, experienced engineer, was in the military for a long time and then worked in various technological industries. He was at this place, and the way that he described it to me, he's like, I want to find my happy place in my career. And I don't know what that is, but I want to figure that out. And so he was trying to find clarity around, like, what did that look like and how do I operate here? And he thought, right, that would probably mean a change in his environment, a different job. Okay. Because he wasn't happy where he was at the time. He was in a relatively new job, 8 or 9 months at the time when we first started chatting. So he thought that, okay, this job isn't really working out. It's going to be something different. But as we started working together, he realized that it wasn't as much about the environment that he was in as much about who he was in that environment.
Ooh.
So his mindsets, how he approached the work that he did and how he approached the people and the relationships that he was working with, was some of the things that were keeping him unhappy at the time. Okay. And so
can you repeat that statement? That was like that Twitter quotable moment, because that's a really powerful thing. It wasn't the environment. Say that part again.
Yeah. So it wasn't as much about the environment that he was in that was keeping him down. It was about who he was in that environment that was keeping him down. Hopefully I said that right.
Yeah, I mean, it's such a powerful distinction, Jeff. And I just wanted you to repeat it, put an exclamation point on that, because I can imagine, you know, the engineering leader who's listening right now probably can think of multiple things in their environment that consciously or subconsciously we believe, you know, mm-hmm. they believe, if that changes, then I will feel happier, more fulfilled, less stress, whatever. It's really easy to fall into that trap of, I just need to change all the external things that I see in my environment right. so that I can feel this way. But what you're saying is for this client, and maybe the challenge to me and to the listener here is like, is it possible that how I'm showing up in that environment, who I'm being in that environment, is the actual root of the unsatisfied
feeling? And so some of that was actually changing his beliefs about himself. Because he had felt, he had experiences in his life and his career where he'd felt burned. Okay. Mm. And so he was afraid of really putting himself out there in different ways and taking on some risks and things. Because he's like, hey, if I do that, I'm probably going to get burned again. Or he felt like he didn't have a lot of value to give. These are some of the things that he was believing about himself, which then reinforces the idea that I'm not doing great work and I'm not getting the feedback and I'm not getting the progression that I want. You know, that's kind of a self-fulfilling prophecy. So again, shifting his mindset to who we wanted to be, who we wanted to become, how he was going to operate, changed how we then interacted with people. He started finding, one of the things that he said was really interesting or really impactful for him that I work with people a lot is this idea of finding a genius zone.
Okay.
Okay. A genius zone is this idea of like, where do you do your best work? What are the combinations of skills or experiences or interests and things that combine in a unique way that makes you uniquely different? So Zach, you and I are really easy way to think about this. Hey, we have this vast engineering background. We also love the training and the coaching stuff. You put that together, we can do this great work with engineers and engineering leaders, right? So that's something that we have uniquely that not a lot of people in the world do.
Sure.
So that's a very simple example. But he recognized that he really struggled when a project or technology or something was in kind of maintenance mode. And it was just sort of like in there, keeping things running and responding to quality issues and, sure, and stuff sure. like that, right? Where he looked back on his experiences in the past, recognized where he was really engaged, where he was really doing great work and was delivering excellent value, was when these were greenfield, ambiguous new projects. And he was able to build the new processes, the business process and the technology processes to help that really start well from the beginning. And he hadn't recognized that before, which then meant that he could look for opportunities in the business, in his work, to do more of that work and raise his hand when he saw those opportunities to engage in some of those things. And then, by the way, a few months later, after he had changed his approach and he was much happier, even in the work that he was doing then he had another opportunity with another company he's even more excited about. And now he's thriving even more. So he did end up changing his environment, but he changed himself first and then was able to thrive in that new environment even more.
That's such a common thread when you talk about transformation that I see and believe in. It's like when we do that inner work and you shift at the level of your identity and being and mindset and the beliefs, everything you just said, Jeff, it's like the outward manifestation of that just continues to compound and accelerate when you do the hard work, the inner work first. Mm-hmm. Such a cool example. One of the things you said that I wanted to touch back on, because I think it relates to a lot of engineers, was the idea of how being burned in the past creates this self-fulfilling prophecy. It was the word you used. You know, I think I call it a self-fulfilling belief cycle, the same concept. Most of us know of at least one or two of these, but all of us have the ones that are in the background, the subconscious or the hidden beliefs or places where we've been wounded or burned in the past that's impacting how we show up today. Mm-hmm. And I think for me, I'll just speak from my own experience. What I love about working with my coach is that process of really working through the hard spaces together brings those things into the foreground where I can see, oh, because so-and-so treated me this way one time a long time ago, I've been treating everybody in my world in this self-limiting way and blaming
myself in that self-limiting way.
Exactly. And so I think that's such an important thing to recognize. It's like, there's probably places the engineering leader listening right now is not aware of where they've been burned and it has impacted your actions and therefore limits your results. And so just to highlight that part of the story. I think that's really, really powerful for your client to become aware of that and then have the courage to go actually do it different, to show up differently in the workplace, which is not trivial, to become a new person and then act on it. I mean, that really is the meat potatoes, right? It's awareness is great, but if they don't actually change. So, I mean, just really awesome. Kudos to your client on that.
You know, you're talking about the bringing the subconscious to making it conscious, right? So the book I recommend it to folks, and I've taken a lot from, called Immunity to Change, from a couple of Harvard psychologists. You know, think about the idea of that title, right? So there's something like a change that we're trying to make in our lives, but there's something internal that's almost like this immunity that's fighting against that. So it's almost like you're got your foot on the brake and your foot on the gas pedal at the same time, right? And so you're not actually moving, even though you're trying to make a change, you got your foot on the gas, but something internal, these subconscious belief systems are keeping us back. And it's the first time where I've found laid out like a real like step-by-step process to move through a mindset change. And so I've used this with a number of clients that essentially is the idea of like, okay, how do we, they call it doing it, going through an x-ray process. Like let's see through that and understand what are those internal beliefs and commitments and assumptions that we might be making that might be holding us back from that change. So let's bring those things up to the awareness. And then is the process to actually go through a series of tests. Okay. So we're essentially taking assumptions or beliefs that we have, and engineers like this essentially moving through the scientific method saying, is this true? Can I design a test to see if this is actually true, and then collect data to see if this actually holds true? And more often than not, that test does not actually hold true. That belief that we've been holding on isn't actually true. To give another example, I've done this with another engineering leader who he owns an engineering services business. He's been building the business and bringing in new team members and things, but because he started it kind of on his own originally, he had this feeling like, if I don't do it, it's not going to be done quite right. And so he took on all the responsibilities on himself rather than building things in such a way that he could delegate and let go of some of the client relationships, some of the work, some of the deliverables, and really letting people own things as he was building the business, which meant that he was losing his free time in terms of time with his wife and kid and other things he wanted to do. So
I imagine there's no engineering leaders who are ever going to relate to that. So this is a very one-off, very unique situation.
He's the only one. Yeah, he's the only one, right? And so so we had to go through this x-ray process and uncover what is it that really was holding him back. Some of those things was like, hey, this belief's kind of these if-then statements. If I don't do it, it won't be done right, or it won't be done on time. And so there was this lack of trust there he was experiencing. There were some other assumptions and beliefs he had as well. And so we had to uncover that. And then we moved through some actions that he could take. And he started journaling regularly to kind of look at it at a daily basis saying, okay, how did I do today? Did I take on everything? Was I able to let go? You know, some of the things he was also working on was being present, even letting go of work and instead of going back to it all day, every day and things like that, right? So when it was family time, was he present in that family time?
Yeah.
Able to take care of those things. A daily reflection that he started doing. And he told me later, he's like, hey, we landed this new project with this new client. And I set things up from the beginning with a couple of my employees to take care of things. And they were just going to own that. I set that relationship up from the beginning. It's like a couple of months before that, that never would have been possible. Before some of the work that he did. And that was going to free up hours every week for him to be able to do that.
Yeah,
and so
that's amazing.
So that's just another example there. But he had to uncover those beliefs about not just like having confidence in himself, because for him, he had no lack of confidence in his ability.
Right.
His thing was if he didn't do it, then something was going to go wrong and that was going to lose business or have quality issues or something like that. If he didn't own it. So he really struggled with the letting go piece there.
I think there's something about what you just described for all of us. You used the phrase, that was not possible before.
Right.
You know, that engineering leader, this super confident, super capable business owner with an engineering background, you know, who can solve any problem. But something as simple as delegating that full responsibility and authority clearly up front was not possible. And it's easy to say, well, okay, that's not true. Like, it was totally possible the whole time. Well, that's exactly true, because the belief and the limitations will create the boundary of possibility for you. And I think this is hugely important. So, you know, you talked like right out of the gate about this is not about transactions, it's about transformation. When you say transformation, like what I talk about, that's the example. You know, it was literally not possible before. Mm-hmm. And by doing that work, it became possible. That is a transformational outcome. And we all have that kind of potential. And that's what I love about the great work of coaching that you do, Jeff. It's like you're helping these leaders find the places where they're currently bumping up against what's possible for them, and to have that breakthrough and transformation that suddenly a whole different level of results is possible.
And by the way, what's possible for him as the engineering leader, and what's possible for his employees, because in this new way of operating, he's helping them to grow and develop in new ways that wouldn't be possible for them in his previous way of operating.
Super true.
So it's not just him. It's everyone that's benefiting from this new way of operating, because they develop and grow the skills that they need and are really entrusted to do that great work, which they're capable of, but it wouldn't have been possible for them to operate like that, because he wasn't setting them up for success, which is one of the reasons he was holding him back, because, and so some of those things. So anyway, it's just best for everyone. And in the end, best for the clients that he was delivering.
Yes. And I know you'll agree with this, Jeff, and my energy is getting all excited now as we talk about transformation. Yeah. But we've been using the phrase engineering leader a lot today. Mm-hmm. And I just want to take the unspoken and make it really clear and say it, that it doesn't matter where you're at on the org chart. It doesn't matter if you own the business or if you're the new hire, the very bottom of the totem pole. Like, the truth of being an engineering leader is that you're all leaders, and this impact that ripples through the organization and your world is true regardless of where you're at. If it's your family that's impacted, your community, your peers, your boss, it can be the people up the ladder that get impacted. When you transform, the world around you transforms. You know, and so don't think like, oh, this doesn't apply to me if I'm not the owner. That's not true at all. I don't know if you want to add anything to that. I just wanted to say it in case somebody, you know, engineering leader listening to this is like, oh, I'm a rookie. Maybe one day. It doesn't matter.
Leadership isn't a title. It's your ability to influence and help and serve no matter where you are in a business, an organization, or in your community, in your family. You can be a leader. And I think we both agree with that. But this is more about who you are, right? Yeah. And who you're becoming.
Super good. Man, we could tell stories all day, Jeff, and I want to keep rolling, but I just, in the interest of time, I hope that the principles that you're sharing, people are latching onto, and you know, maybe you see yourself in the stories Jeff's telling. Don't just listen passively. Take this and really ask yourself, what do I see in that identity hit of the gas station employee who's got a master's in engineering? You know, where has my identity been hit lately? And is there a place I need to transform? You know, I want to get to my happy place, and I'm trying to do that by changing everything around me. Maybe I need to change myself. Where is that possibly true? This kind of if-then limiting beliefs of a business owner, where have you set up some rules or some assumptions that maybe we need to test and work through if that's actually true? Super powerful work. And maybe I'll ask back to that original statement. We were talking about the difference between transaction and transformation. In your words, Jeff, how do you define that transformation? What makes it one versus the other in Jeff's words?
When I start working with any of my clients, in the very first coaching session we set up and clarify their definition of success. What does success look like to them? One of the ways we think about it, like, okay, think about a year, 2 years from now, 3 years from now. I did this thing with Jeff. I did this coaching program. I'm really grateful that I did that because I got these sorts of results and I changed or learned these sorts of things. And we try and define that. And they don't always have all the answers to what that really looks like in that first session. We can go back to that over time to make sure that we're really aligned in, we're trying to define early on and set a positively framed goal.
Yeah.
What they're doing, because positively framed outcomes are so much more powerful than negatively framed things. Hey, I'm trying to get out of this situation, or I'm trying to avoid this. or I don't want to be underpaid or unhappy. Like, okay, sure, that's fine. We can identify that. But what is the positive end of that? How do we frame that in a positive way so we can move towards something that we're really excited about rather than just moving away from something that isn't, you know, that we're not happy with, right? And so we're trying to, so I allow every person to define that transformation essentially.
I love
because it's a personalized process and something that they get to move through, and everyone's a little bit different. And so we get to define that transformation and then try and stay aligned through the process to work through that.
That's really cool. So it's really not even about Jeff's words. It's what you see as transformation for your own life and then working with your coach to make that happen. I love it.
Exactly.
Jeff, well, first thing, I know everybody's going to want to get in touch with you. You already mentioned this amazing free resource. We're going to put that link. But if somebody wants to just reach out and find more about the work that you're doing and More Than Engineering, where's the best place for folks to get connected with you?
Yeah, so that link one more time, and that's the best place I point people to. Make sure to put the www.engineeringcareeraccelerator.com/Owaco for Owaco listeners and the Happy Engineer listeners. And then I can be found on LinkedIn and connect with me there, and always happy to connect there. That's the best place I point people to right now.
Okay, awesome. Well, I want to finish where we always finish in this show, and you and I doing similar work and being kindred spirits and helping engineers grow and develop and lead aligned with their own transformation. You know, those questions we ask really matter. Questions lead, answers follow. So for that engineering leader who's listening right now, if they want to experience transformation in their life, what is the best question you would lead them with today?
Yes, we've talked a lot about transformation. So the question I'd say is, who do you want to become? And this comes from the ideas of Stephen R. Covey and the 7 Habits, but like start with the end in mind. What is that person or the outcomes and the things that you're trying to accomplish, who you're trying to be? Trying to become a person, you're trying to transform you and therefore transform the outcomes and the results you get in your life. But who do you want to become in your career, in your family, in your community? What does that look like? Start with the end in mind. And if you can start to frame that, then again, we can start to then operate from trying to be that person now, rather than feeling like, hey, I got to get all the way to retirement before I can finally enjoy the good life. But what can you do from the kind of person you want to build? And now, who do you want to become? It's a great question that opens up the space in the mind to think about what that might look like. And then you can start taking action to become it.
I love it. And I'll say it again, if you need help on the how to get to that place, reach out to Jeff, get the support you need and engage, because it's no fun to sit still, especially after asking a powerful question like that, and you start to get a sense of that vision, start taking action. So I know Jeff will be happy to help you, and can't say enough about how great the work is that he's doing, and you won't regret it. So Jeff, thanks again for making time to be here. This has been awesome. Are you an engineer who is listening because you want to reach the next level, but don't know how to get there? I know exactly how you feel and would love to chat about how to get results. A lot of engineers want help. They want to accelerate their career, but what holds them back is that most of the career coaching services out there are generic and they just want you on the phone to get a commitment and a credit card. That's why on our Career Clarity calls, we do it a bit differently. We are there to help you gain a deeper sense of clarity on the barriers you're facing so you can choose the right next step for you. It's totally free. There is no commitment, and that call is meant to serve you. And if we're a good fit, we've carved out a limited number of $500 coaching sessions also for free, which we want to give our podcast listeners first. Setting up a Career Clarity call is easy. Go to careerclaritycall.com. You can grab that link in the show notes or just memorize it, careerclaritycall.com. All you're going to do is click the big orange button, select a time on our calendar that works for you, and my team will begin pouring into your career so you can get to that next level. Chat soon. All right, happy engineer. It's just you and me for a moment, and I want you to know I'm about to go off. I'm going off on a rant. You've been warned. But I promise you, you're going to be glad that you stuck around for this last part of the episode. Jeff shared some really powerful stories, and I just want to acknowledge Jeff and the work that he's doing and his amazing clients who are out there stepping into the arena of their life, living courageously, and transforming their results and their experience day by day. That is amazing. And that is what I want for you. And a lot of times I don't talk too much on the podcast about getting a coach and taking action in that way because, let's face it, it can come across as self-serving or salesy because that's what I do and Awaco provides coaching programs and I don't want this podcast to just come across to you as a sales engine because we really do have a heart to serve you. But today I have an excuse because Jeff is a coach and I can just tell you to go work with him. This is about taking action. So I want to make a case for you right now about why you must get the support that you need from a great coach to transform your life. Now, bear with me. You may be thinking everything in your life is fine and good and you're happy and you don't need any help. Well, maybe right now you don't need a coach, but one day you will. Or maybe right now you don't need a coach, but if you had one, you could accelerate the outcomes that you're passionate about at work and at home even more and have an abundance flow into your life that you've never experienced before. Many of my clients have nothing wrong when they start coaching. They do it to have more right happen in their career and life. So it doesn't matter where you're at. Or if nothing else, I want you to listen to this for that person who you know or who you're going to bump into who may need to take action in their life, and you can be a lamp, a light, an encouragement to them to take action, to get out of their situation, and to transform for something new. Here's the truth. Your mind, the horsepower of your mind, your thoughts, this machine between your ears, your nervous system, 95% of that horsepower is in your subconscious. All right, your subconscious mind is 95% of what's happening in your nervous system. And your prefrontal cortex and your conscious mind and what you and I are actually able to access by direct conscious thought and the problems that we can solve by thinking our way out and figuring things out consciously is only 5%. So I want you to just imagine for a moment five horses latched up and pulling one direction. And on the other side of this tug of war is 95 horses pulling the other way. Now, I have a really tough engineering question for you. Which side is going to win? Okay, it's not a tough question. It's a completely stupid trick question because it's obvious, right? 95 horses pull harder than 5 horses. And the same is true in your mind. If you have one of these unconscious, hidden beliefs, barriers, roadblocks, things that are holding you back, like what Jeff talked about today, if your mindset in your subconscious, your automatic programming, your mindset is pulling against the goals and vision and dreams that you have for your life, then you can wake up every morning and consciously be striving and working harder and putting more energy into getting to where you want to be in life and constantly feel frustrated, let down, disappointed about the fact that you're not making progress. And the reason is because 95% of who you are is pulling in a different direction. Or, frankly, they might just be 95 horses that are laying down, doing nothing. They don't have to even pull in an opposite direction. All they have to do is not move for your 5 horses of your conscious mind to make no progress. The power of working with a coach. And I want you to know, in case you're skeptical here, I have multiple coaches right now as well. I practice what I preach in this because coaching is that powerful. I will never stop investing in coaching with my time, energy, and resources financially because of the power that it has to transform my life, my business, my family, my future. But when you get together with someone who can help you and guide you through transformation in that 95% through a powerful coaching journey, there's nothing like it. All right, and don't let your ego and that part of you that says, I know, and I'm smart enough to figure this out on my own, and if I listen to enough of these podcasts, I'm gonna figure out all the secrets, and if I read enough of the books, then that's all I really need. And, you know, Jeff and Zach just trained to become coaches, and if they can train to become a coach, then I can train to coach myself. It is not true. Self-coaching is powerful. Yes, you can create a lot of results in your life by simply learning and taking action and doing things on your own. But why learn the hard way through your own trial and error by yourself when you can get the experiences and the, you know, the shortcuts and the breakthroughs that come from individuals who have worked with hundreds of people in similar situations to you before you? Not to mention engineers. That what we learned in engineering school and the way that we're trained as engineers in our jobs and so much of the culture and environment around us as engineering leaders is creating some of the very patterns, habits, and beliefs that end up holding us back. And we use those things because they make us great engineers, but we don't realize how some of those exact patterns cause the dissatisfaction, the burnout, the frustration that you experience. And again, you may be in a great place, but it could be better. Or you may be in a great place and this would help you to help others. So I just want to encourage you, take action on getting the support that could literally transform your present and your future aligned with the transformation that you want. Your vision and dreams for your life. So just take a moment and picture those things. Answering that question that Jeff posed, who do you want to become? Who do you want to become? And I want to challenge you to at least get curious today. What if working with someone like Jeff could help you accelerate and transform in the results that you desire? What if? At least try that on. Run that test, that experiment, have an initial conversation, check it out, talk to other engineering leaders who have worked with great coaches and understand the transformations that they've been through. I mean, just imagine that first leader who was working at a gas station, feeling stuck, feeling ashamed. Is this all I'm ever going to be in my life? Did I do all this education and my destiny is to work hourly minimum wage at a gas station? And now that leader is out there sharing the story of how they didn't let that identity hold them back, that he was able to become a new person, get tapped into his full potential and power, land a great job in a tough, tough economic environment, and then advance and promote within months and get that dream car from his vision board, all, again, in such an amazingly short amount of time, a time frame where many of you have been sitting and just wondering what's next for years. And all of that happened in months for this leader. It's awesome. The same is possible for you. And so I want to challenge you today to take action. Reach out and connect with a great coach. Have some of the initial consultations and conversations to discover truly what's possible for your life. You will not regret it. I mean that from the heart. I want you to go talk to Jeff. You don't even have to talk to me. Go talk to Jeff. Get more from these amazing leaders like him that are out there. But I just mean it from the bottom of my heart that I don't want to see you listen to more of these episodes. Not one more episode of the Happy Engineer Podcast goes by without you taking an action to get closer and accelerate and maximize your own dreams, vision, and goals for your career and for your life outside the office as well. I love you. I appreciate you. Thanks for sticking with me through this. I can't wait to hear about your transformation. And until then, keep crushing comfort, create courage, and let's do this. My friend, that's all we've got for this episode of the Happy Engineer Podcast. Thank you again for investing your time with me today. If you're like me, then maybe you'll take some notes and share this episode with your fellow engineers. Why? Because it will help you learn deeper, remember these insights, and take action. So share this episode with two or three friends just like you who are committed to building their career. Lastly, make sure to link up with us at oasisofcourage.com. Grab our free tools for career growth there in the Resource Hub, and schedule a free call with our coaching team today. Please just share this podcast with anyone who you think might enjoy it. Until next time, remember to crush comfort, create courage, and let's do this.